Wiffle Nation. Welcome to the 31st episode of the Huntington Wiffle League Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Smith. With me is my co-host, Anthony Sidham. How's it going, Anthony?
Hey, Joshy Poo. What's up, Bubba?
Hey, man. What's up? You're sounding loud and clear from Ironton, Ohio. I really wish you were near me.
You know, last time I was near you, there were things that happened, and I don't want to go there.
The restraining order has not come through yet, so it's still fair game. All right, so we have a very special surprise, sort of, guest for our listeners today on this episode. It's the first of 10 episodes in an off-season series that we're doing that have non-HWL player guests, and this is the first one. I can't think of a better guest that could start off. We have Tim Wilcher from Leroy Wiffle Association, and I'm very excited to have him on. We'll be talking to him about his league, the drama that went down between his league and our league in the 2016 NWA Regionals, and what he thinks about the status of the sport as a whole today. And we'll get into that as soon as we come back. Before we get into the interview with Tim, I just want to take a second to talk about our third annual Hallow Wiffle tournament that's upcoming. It's for charity. It raises money for the Hoops Children's Hospital wing at Cabell Huntington. Fantastic cause. So get a team together today and raise money for a great cause and have a great time while doing so. This spooky tournament is slow pitch, double elimination with prizes available for best costume. Don't be scared and miss out on this fantastic and fun event that only happens once a year. It really is a scream. Go to HuntingtonWiffleball.com for more details. The tournament is Saturday, October 21st, beginning at 9 a.m. More details coming soon.
So, it's a howling good time, Josh Smith.
I know. How many more puns can we fit into this? One, two.
It's scary. How many more we can do?
Yeah, right? All right, so that was fun. So we're just going to get right into the main event of this episode. We're going to introduce a very special guest who's agreed, thankfully, to come on to this episode. We're going to be talking to the commissioner of the Leroy Wiffle Association. So just some background info. Leroy Wiffle Association, also known as LWA, was founded in 2014 by Tim Wilcher and Kyle Reinhout. Don't know about the last name pronunciation there. They had six teams in the beginning, and after just 1 year of casual play, they returned in 2015 with a draft format. After initial participation struggles, the league blew up in the national spotlight among NWA leagues as they shocked many power rankings polls and qualified for the NWA Nationals, squashing our hopes, by the way, of making the Nationals as they made that debut. They've proven it wasn't a fluke by finishing in the top eight, not only in the 26th national tournament, but also this year, and are widely regarded as one of the nation's best young leagues. Few commissioners have had a league gain so much attention in so little time. Tim, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, I am absolutely thrilled to be with you guys here today.
And we're thrilled to have you. We had actually...
Josh is thrilled. I'm yet to see how well you answer questions. I want to know...
I thought we were the three amigos, Anthony. Yeah. What the hell?
We are, but listen, we had to reel you in somehow. I want to see how drunk you get and how good your answers are. So we're on the cusp of being besties. Don't fuck it up, okay?
Yeah, no pressure.
Fair enough. Let's go.
No pressure. All right. I'm going to ask the first question here. I see that you started dabbling in podcasting with your W5 episode that appeared a few months ago on the Two Wiffle Dudes Network. And your league has its own podcast called Going Corn. By the way, I just want to suggest hardcore corn, but, you know, whatever. And a few years ago, it seemed like most leagues were giving podcasts a stab. Why do you think that that's not the case anymore, and will you and or the LWA be putting your voice out there more often and consistently using this podcast format?
You know, I absolutely love podcasts. I love what you guys are doing here. This is huge for, like, the off season and whatnot, just to keep us motivated and keep us going. I listen to Skippy. I even listen to Will. I hate to admit it, but I do. And of course, Carl's. I love podcasts. I don't know what's going on with them. I don't know if it's just like a generational thing or what the deal, but for us, yeah, we'll get going, Cord, going again. Greg's been doing a great job with that. He's been trying some different stuff out, but I kind of let him do the lead of that thing. And TW5, we'll maybe get that going next couple weeks. We'll see if I can get some guests on the shows. I don't know. I want to change the format up a little bit. The last format didn't work so well, so.
That's awesome. I mean, I listened to your pilot episode of that program, and it was like 5 minutes or something like that. Yeah, I listened to it.
Like four.
Yeah, I sent you a message. I was like, "That was awesome!" Like, because what the temptation is when you first start a podcast is just like, let's just talk about everything. And our first episodes are like hour and a half long, and we've gradually gotten to where we normally make an episode 45, 50 minutes long. And I've just never heard an express style podcast like that actually covered the bases. So I liked what you had done there so far. But when we first started, everybody was doing podcasts, and I don't know what happened. It's one of the easiest and most casual ways to learn about the inner workings of a league and kind of get an idea of the personality of the league. And it's, in my opinion, at least in our experience, it's not been that labor intensive. So I don't understand why more leagues don't do that. So I'm just curious what your thought was.
I unfortunately haven't had the chance to check out your podcast yet, Tim. I will. I'll take a chance to listen to it. I don't want you to feel like you're going to get to our level yet. I do want you to succeed. And anytime Josh Smith or any of the other fantastic podcast members we have of our league can lend their assistance to yours, we'll be happy to do that for you.
Oh, okay. Josh has given me many hints.
Oh, yeah.
Many hints.
Josh gives people things that themselves can't explain what they get. So, you know, don't just take it with a grain of salt and a shot of penicillin.
Yeah.
Since I have you, let me ask you a question real quick. I know that your league is only grown in players by a very humble margin, but yet you managed to bring in so much impressive talent. How is it that your league is doing so well with so little?
Well, short answer, Caleb Yonkman. Long answer, I don't know. For me, my cousin was he was younger. He's in high school, so I kind of pushed him to get some of his buddies who played baseball. And I guess if you play baseball, you're somewhat athletic. I don't know. That's what they say. I never played, but so that kind of worked out well. He got Brett and some other guys to come along and play. But we grew a lot this last year. We had like 55 guys come out, so that was huge for us. We only had like in the 20s before, which wasn't anything. But I think as long as you keep like a younger core, I think you could get decent talent. I mean, I know you guys got Jeremy Ray. He's like, what, 45, and he's a stud. But,
yeah. 46 this year. Yeah, 46 this year.
So, I mean, I'm 27, and I feel out of shape, and I can't even play. So, early 20 guys.
Yeah. You know, I have to agree with your young comment there. We have guys in the league like Jeremy, myself. I'm 36. Guys are getting.
You look 26, Anthony.
Listen, you are now my bestie. You know what? you just set me over the edge there. I appreciate it. So, God, you sexy motherfucker.
Virtual reach around.
But we have some older guys in the league, this year we brought some young talent in, Bryce Clark and Tyler Roush, who was there last year on the Mothman, and with our draft format, you know, it really boosted more than just one or two teams in the league, you know, so. Bringing younger guys in, that's the way to go. But you got to have that veteran leadership on every team,
totally
though,
agree.
You know?
Totally agree, yeah. Yep.
You got to have that right stuff.
I think that's why we struggle, like haven't gone over the seventh place hump, is because we don't have that veteran leadership. So,
you know, going into NWLA this year, that's what we thought we had built, you know, a really good mix between veteran and young talent. But, you know, it takes time to develop the young talent, and the veteran leadership only has a few years to work with that talent before they're done. So you just really, the veterans and the young guys have to click for it to really make a difference. So kudos to you guys for bringing in the young talent.
So I always like to talk to commissioners about commissioner stuff. I think it's boring for people who aren't commissioners, but I'm not commissioner anymore, thank God. I'm always intrigued by the people that are commissioners. So as a commissioner, you probably experienced the same thing many other commissioners have experienced, however long or not long you've been a commissioner. But I'm curious, what parts of being the commissioner do you like, and what parts annoy you?
That's a great question. If I would have looked back when I started this and how much time and like effort and everything that has to go into every single week, I mean, that's the part that annoys me. To an extent, I mean, the biggest thing that annoys, I kind of have like a board like you guys do now. So I have like about almost six or seven guys who want to help out, and they each have their certain role. So the biggest annoyance for me is when someone says they're going to do something and then they don't do it, and then you end up having to do it anyways. So I'm sure you can relate. You guys can both relate to that. But but on the same note, it's awesome for a commissioner to see someone else buy into something that you created. And I think, like, for someone else to put time and effort and want to build something up that you thought of is, I don't know, that's just awesome for me. So that's kind of like the biggest pro that I've had is having six or seven guys that enjoy it, want to build it, and every week try to make sure that it runs right.
I totally agree and like your answer there. I was the commissioner of our league for the first three, four seasons, and passed it off to somebody last year, and then that turned into a committee this year, and it's just really cool to watch people share that enthusiasm and take it to the next level for you. It's just very encouraging to see something that you started kind of take shape and grow into something else. It's just really cool to see that happen. So I'm glad you're having a positive experience as a commissioner so early on.
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, it's the only thing that sucks is, and you've talked about this in some of the podcasts I've listened to, is when you're commissioner, you can't take a week off.
Right.
You know, you every single week you've got to make sure everything's ready. Like for me, we play on Wednesdays. Every Wednesday, it's like I'm stressing out about making sure the score sheets are there and the videos set up. Everything. Well, other people can skip a week and it wouldn't matter.
But right.
It's what it is. You know, you take the good with the bad.
You know, with our league this year or last year, actually, we started the once a month tournament format, and and I'll tell you what, last year I was on the team. I was on a team with Josh and then Commissioner Patrick Rail, and just to see the stress relief difference in those two guys and Greg Sowers, who was doing the equipment then, to go over to a once a month thing, that was phenomenal. Now the only down part to that is guys like myself and Jeremy and those guys who just really love to play wiffle ball. Only playing once a month, it kind of sucks, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, having the time, you know, having 3 weeks to get stats up and videos edited and things like that, it's definitely a lot better than on a weekly basis.
Yeah, it really helps.
Definitely seems to be the new trend, that's for sure.
It is, and, you know, maybe a month is too long, you know, maybe every other week, you know, who knows what the best formula is for everyone, but, you know, to kind of go back and piggyback off Josh, I mean, what sparked your interest in the sport, and why did you want to start a league?
Okay, this is going to sound really weird and cheesy. I moved into this old farmhouse. This house is like 100 years old. It's like a shithole. But in the middle of nowhere, '09, and I wanted to have like this cool event with all my friends who'd go to college. I didn't go to college. So I had this like Leroy Olympics sort of thing. So we'd have like ping pong and hillbilly golf and shit like that. And one of them was wiffle ball. And like people like love this so much that they told me to keep the field up. So I was like, whatever, let's do it. We kept the field up, played for a year in 2013. And then that's when I talked to Kyle Reinhout. And he's like, yeah, let's get a league going. So we ended up getting the league going. And I mean, I've never really been like a huge wiffle ball junkie, but it's grown out through the years, and seeing other people play it and getting into it, it's been huge to to watch something. I don't know, to build something, like build a league. It's been cool for me.
Very cool. Like, you know, Josh. Josh, during the Hall of Fame podcast, I done that when he kind of told me what directed his interest in wiffle ball was. He didn't like getting in the face with hit in the face with baseballs. Men's balls don't faze him at all being hit in the face with. But baseballs he didn't
a lot of balls in Josh's face?
A lot of balls in Josh's face. You have no idea.
So
that's why you shaved the beard, because all of us was like, dude, it is scratching the shit out of us.
Yeah.
It has to go.
I aim to please. What can I say?
Your aim is horrible, by the way. Listen, did you hear that? Did you hear that? A guest question, Josh. Did you hear that?
Yeah, man.
I got into it. You're absolutely. I encourage it.
Yeah.
I got into it. Shout out to Ronnie Canterbury. I just happened to be in the right place at the right time.
Miss him.
Quick background for me. I was in a sports card shop with a buddy of mine who owns a shop. And Ronnie Canterbury walks in, opens the door like he owns the place, because that's how Ronnie is. Says, hey, anybody want to play wiffle ball? And I was like, yeah, that's easy shit. Let's do that. So I got brought in halfway through the 2015 season to the worst team in the league, the only 0-20 team to ever grace Huntington.
Respect.
My first three at-bats were rocket shots. I mean, just bombs. My next seven were strikeouts. So I fell in love with it and hated the sport all the fucking day. It was fantastic. It does, doesn't it, right? It's like, oh my God, you get a three-run bomb and you do your bat. I bat flip every home run I hit, just so you know.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's me. I bat. You know, listen, I walk off that like I just hit the game-winning World Series run. It's a fucking wiffle ball, but I bat flip the shit out of it, dude.
Yeah.
I don't even care.
I hit like one homer a year, and they fucking know I hit.
Yeah, I mean, even if you do it a lot, a home run is something special, no matter how often it happens. You just got to play that shit up.
That's right.
Yeah, bat flip all day long. Anthony's the best of the game when it comes to bat flips. If you want to learn how to bat flip without a chain, he doesn't even need a chain. He doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to kiss his fingers and thank the Lord. He has so much attitude in that bat flip. It says it all. He's the best in the game when it comes to bat
flip. You know what you need to do? Anthony, you home run. You take so long. This is what I do. I take legit 6 minutes to walk around the bases. There's like three at-bats that go on while I'm still walking around the bases.
That's fantastic. Awesome. Listen, last year on Make Wiffle Ball Great Again, Josh and I played together on that team. We would hit a home run and then carry an American flag around the bases.
Yeah.
And then say racial things like, or anti-Semitic things like
deported. Yeah.
When you hit the home run or shit like that.
Yeah. 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 So, sometimes we'd play a field where the fence was facing south, and it was just, it was just so bad. So, sometimes the other team would
find any game that has Make Wiffle Ball Great Again as a video. You will love it.
Yeah,
I normally watch them on take a shit.
There's actually somewhere online. There is a montage video with God Bless America playing in the background of every home run we hit in the July tournament in 2016. The word deported may be said every once in a while. I think that's a good place to take a break from what I find to be a very entertaining interview so far. When we come back, we will continue to ask Tim Welcher more questions when we come back. For Tim Welcher from Leroy Wiffle Association. I'm going to get it started back in. Pump. So, this is a major question a lot of people are probably listening for. There was a lot of drama surrounding our game with your team in the 2016 regionals in Morenci, Michigan. It was a tough regional overall, with some evenly matched teams in most cases, and our game was a close one that seemed to hinge on the momentum change stemming from a controversial call. Afterward, there was a lot of chatter on Twitter, so many memes, and a brewing rivalry between our leagues. Could you give me the LWA side of the story? We talked extensively on our podcast about it. By the way, your meme game is so good. We don't really do memes in our league, but I had an idea I pitched for the NWA for Josh's meme corner, and I made 36 memes, none of which have made it to the website, by the way. Skippy! So, give me the LWA side of the story, Tim.
First off, before I get into that, he's kind of orchestrated some of our memes, so I gotta give him a little shout-out. I wasn't there. Unfortunately, I wasn't there, but I heard a lot of... I watched it on live stream, and basically... Like, your guy ran through first base, right, and he kicked it after he got through the base?
Yeah.
And then our guys bitched about it and got the call?
Pretty much. That's our rendering of it, anyway.
That's how we feel about it, too.
Yeah.
I'm glad you see it that way.
Yeah. That's pretty much how we see it.
Now we officially love you. You're a sister league in our eyes now.
We had the same thing sort of happen this year with AWAA.
Oh.
Just like... bitch about calls, and they give it to us, so, like, we just keep doing it. I don't know. It's kind of
I can't fault you for what works. I mean, they got you to the Nationals. In full disclosure, I even admit on our podcast, you made it much further than we were going to make it. I think we deserve to make the Nationals, but we would not have done what you did. So, I mean, just to your face, you guys did something I don't believe our roster at the time would have been able to do, finish in the top eight and qualify for the next year. So, I mean, I said it on that podcast, I got to say it to your face.
I appreciate that. I mean, we weren't given really, like, we weren't looked at as a top team, so we faced some pretty bad pitching, like third or fourth pitchers. But yeah. I think it really helped the narrative. Like, for us, it helped the narrative of getting seventh place. We ended up doing it this year as well, and help the narrative of you guys getting fucked every year. So, I mean, it worked out well for everybody.
Listen, we need to be known for something. So getting fucked in our ass is something that I know that we want to be known for.
That's right.
I know Jeremy Ray wants to be known for that. I know.
Does he? Wow.
He does. Listen, I have to pick on Jeremy Ray every podcast because he hates me, but he loves me. I don't care what he says. He actually loves me.
If he's not number one in your power bottom rankings, I don't know what to tell you. So, I mean, I'm glad.
Is that true?
What is it?
Is he like the nicest guy ever? That's what I've heard.
Jeremy Ray?
Yeah, he's a kind guy.
Yeah, he's
a fun guy.
He's a man of the people.
Just bring the talent with the team and win, and he's A1. To touch on Jeremy Ray again, sexually. He is a nice guy, Tim. He really is. He's a constant competitor. He loves to win, hates to lose, like we all do. So,
player first,
and that fiery being inside of him, it keeps it interesting on the field. So I like playing with Jeremy Ray, even though he and I butt heads a lot on the field because we're so competitive. But he's probably one of my favorite guys in the league, honestly.
Well, so, you guys need to quit effing around next year and get to Nationals. We can all hang out, have a good time, and touch each other.
I would love to, but I need you to talk to someone and bitch to NWLA before we get there, like you guys like to do.
Get a call for us.
Yeah, if
I could say so much shit about the NWLA host community, fuck me.
Yeah, if up and coming leagues would stop eliminating us. I don't know where I don't know where Ridley Park finished, but ever since the qualifying era has started. Whenever a team has eliminated us, they've finished in the top eight. I think Ridley Park made it to the second or third round of the double elimination bracket, right?
Yeah, they beat us and got sixth place. Yeah,
they qualified into. So I mean, we're basically we're that prostitute from the coming of age movie where the teenager, has his way with through the monetary gain of the father or stepfather, what have you. We've all seen this movie. We're the seasoned hoe who you have to go through before you become a man. So that's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
It's not fine. You know, after making a lot of noise in 2016 Nationals, you guys qualified for the 2017 Nationals. But you were sent home packing your shit. Packing your shit. Wow. By BWL in a 1-0 heartbreaker after losing 3-9 to the HFWB, sending you to the loser's bracket. Are you satisfied with your 2017 performance? I mean, it's not a bad performance, just not an improvement.
Oh, stop it. It's an improvement. Listen, let me tell you why it's an improvement. We played some shitty pitchers in 2016, like Brian Kelly, shit. Tyler Flackney after a 10-inning game, shit. In 2017, we beat Jack Shannon. We beat Jimmy Cole, Anthony LaValle. We faced Chris Hess in a 10-inning game. We lost that Hessfield game in 10 innings. And then there's this new stud on Ridley Park. Let me tell you something about this Tommy Loftus guy. He wasn't at regionals, but oh my goodness, the dude is going to be a stud. And so I don't know. I think we improved. We got the same finish, so I guess it is an improvement. But
no. I think I said that it was an improvement. Did you hear me say that?
Here we go.
Hey, but you're still my best friend, Tim. You're still my best friend.
Let me say something here. Before we were. Really, the dust had settled on you guys eliminating us. I came to the NWA National Tournament because we actually had the team in London at the time. They invited me there, which was a deceit to give me some weird trophy. But I helped Carl do color commentary for the All-Star game. And then saw Jonkman become player of the game for that. And saw you guys go on to qualify for the next year and everything. And let me just tell you, anytime you can maintain in that tournament and finish in the same spot again, that's almost as good as finishing in the top four in my book. Because like you said earlier, you guys weren't facing the ace pitchers, and then people knew not to count you out the following year, and they treated you just like they would any other adversary, and you guys still made it as far as you did. So, you know, pat on the back for sure.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, sir.
Yeah, so, you know, moving on to another question here. I know we're barely into the off season, and I love the off season. So much talk, smack, and otherwise happens in the off season, and we're aiming at HWL to have the best off season of all time. So, but since we're barely in, hype is high. I do want to ask, what's 2018 looking like for LWA? Do you have a picture yet? What can we expect from your league? Do you have any big changes coming up? What's up with LWA for next season?
Okay, I'm excited about this because I actually talked to Patrick Rail a little bit about this. I think you might know who he is.
Wow, yeah, I do know him.
Did you know that I talked to him?
No, is that all you did? Because I want to know if we're Eskimo brothers.
I can't speak on those terms. But.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to tell us because we're asking for a friend.
I'm really going to focus on the Facebook Live and presentation this year.
Yes.
One thing Patrick did was he added a ticker into his Facebook Live.
Yeah.
That said the score, and that just blew my mind.
Yeah.
So I talked to him about it, and I got some ideas, and I'm really going to look forward to next year. Every week we will have a person on this mic that I'm using currently. Mm-hmm. Broadcasting two games every Wednesday night. We will have a ticker. I'm hoping to get some in-game interviews and really try to make like the Wednesday night event of watching fun, you know,
yeah.
Instead of just a boring old play-by-play of the game, but have a commentary, have a guy.
Right.
And that's my goal is to make it enjoyable for someone who isn't there to watch, and that's my 2018 goal.
Hey, man, well, you know, best of luck in it.
One other big – what's that?
Best of luck in it. I mean, that's a hard thing to do. I think it was you or somebody else that reached out to me after we did our draft, and he had found this
– Oh, I watched it.
Yeah, he had this app called Switcher that just, like, totally revolutionary, just revolutionized everything, because we did a show called Wiffle Talk Hour, WTH, and if we would have had that app, oh my god, it just would have saved me days of editing. But a lot of people reached out after that draft came out, and those first couple of tournaments where he was present to do the streaming for it. That's the future, and that starts with Palisades. Palisades, it's the event of a Saturday. Hess Field streams their games as well. Sometimes OCWA, I think, does it. Streaming is the future, and then wherever you stream on that format, it saves it. You don't have to upload it later. It's all there.
Yep, totally right. There's no editing, no nothing. It's all right there, right now. Don't have to worry about it the next 2 days. But what you guys did with that switch and webcams was huge, and I'm really intrigued about moving forward with that. It's just about if I can get Wi-Fi and all that shit.
But. Right.
That's listen, totally right. I have to give Patrick Rail credit, man. That guy is an idea machine.
He is.
I mean, he looks for the bigger and better things for our league. And I know you say you listen to podcasts, but you know he recently stepped down as a committee member. But I'm sure we'll still be a contributor when it comes to moving on to bigger and better things in our league. He is just a secret weapon in our league. And no one really gives him credit for it. He is an innovator for sure.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever had an inside the box thought in his life. I mean, he's the one that came up with the once a month tournament idea that everyone thought was insane. I was like, oh my god, this guy is a genius.
You know, there's not many new leagues sprouting up like there has been in the past, Tim. Do you think it's a generational thing, and that a lot of players and a lot of people your age are unwilling to participate in upstart leagues, or is it just a temporary hiccup, you think? And I say your age, you're younger than me, so fuck off, I know.
Whoa. I'm 27 going on 35, okay?
Listen, I'm 36 going on 21.
damn, I'd rather
God
be
bless.
Your boat.
You don't really, actually. A minute in my mind is not a great thing. It's not a great thing.
It got deep.
Oh, boy. So,
but, I mean, do you want me to answer the question again, or did you get it, or, I mean...
I get it. I agree and disagree. Listen, have you guys heard of Jacob Davey?
No. No? What's that, man? Teach us something.
You guys know Will with his life league.
Yeah.
They were in your regional.
Right.
He's 21, 22. So I mean, he's doing some things. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if people are just the younger generations too into PlayStation or what. But
when I folded our original league in Hurricane, West Virginia, before moving it to Huntington, I started with Whiffler's Digest, and it just seemed like it was so hard to keep track of all the new leagues springing up all the time. It was like a virus. And now things have really cooled down after a while. I mean, I know that part of it's just like exposure with the internet. When we first started our league in 2002, the old league, we thought we were the first ones ever doing it because the internet just wasn't what it is now. But now there's leagues that, you know, do it strictly through Facebook. And I just wonder if it's just like more the NCAA is not in the market anymore to get into these new leagues, or if we really are really having a kind of a Thermidor period where we're not really getting as many new leagues started. I'm just curious. I'm always interested in what younger leagues think about why we're kind of having a slowing down in the creation of new leagues all the time. And it's really hard to keep a league going after you've already started. It's a lot of work because there's not really a format. And a lot of people like to do things their way because every town's different. So it's just interesting to me because I've noticed a slowdown just from my pursuits and looking for new leagues. I'm just curious why you think maybe that's the case now. It just seems like it's slower than ever since I got into the game 15 years ago.
The NWLA, I think, is a really, really good thing. I think that if you're in the association, you get recognized, but the standard of what a league is, I think, has raised so high that if you're just starting up, you're not even recognized as a league. I mean, I think like with Twitter, with Instagram, with everything going on, it's so much that you have to do to create a league to get recognized. I feel like the NWA has propelled the base of having a standard of having a league to so high that I don't think we recognize some of the lower ones. I don't know. That's just my input.
Yeah.
For me, in 4 years, I've had to do so much with guys that have helped to just get close to what you guys have done.
So let's move on to some, like, you know, listener questions. We don't normally get these because we don't normally get guests that our outside listeners know anything about. So I'm hoping to get more of these in the off season. So far, we've got two or three. I've got the best two so far. First question was from Twitter. For some reason, when we first posted on our Facebook, it didn't post on Twitter as well. It comes from Spencer.
What was up with that?
I don't know, man. I sometimes pre-schedule posts. That's a good commissioner cheat for up-and-coming commissioners when you don't want to spend every waking hour doing things. Write articles in advance and then schedule that shit. So, a little pro tip for you. So this one comes from Twitter. We have one from Twitter and one from Facebook. This one from Twitter comes from Spencer Bogad. Maybe you've heard of him. He also has a Two Wiffle Dudes podcast that's supposed to be coming out called Calling Your Shot. I've heard a lot about it. It has yet to post. Spencer, what's up, buddy?
Yeah.
So he has a question from Twitter. How many cousins did you have to date before settling on marrying a non-cousin? Before you answer that, I just want to say, as a West Virginian, I've been asked this question.
I wanted to say this, Josh.
I've been asked this question before. So I whatever answer you have, I support, I think. So,
what I think.
So, yeah, man, what do you say to Spencer's question there?
Can I intervene just one real quick?
Sure.
And this is taking a shot at Josh, not at you, Tim.
Oh. Well.
Do you know how you circumcise a West Virginian? You kick his sister in the mouth.
Oh my God. See, that's the thing about the Huntington West. The Huntington Wiffle League is not all of us are from West Virginia. We're actually a tri-state league. So, Anthony, you just got yourself taken off my Christmas card list, buddy.
Well, Tim's going to add me, so I'm kind of still at the same place.
Yeah,
so.
You're breaking even.
Let's not get crazy here.
Yeah. So, Tim, what do you think?
Okay, I don't know what Spencer's problem is here. I suppose maybe one or two. Okay, one or two.
You live and you learn.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Yeah. The family tree that doesn't fork.
That's
all right,
man. Going right. Corn.
Hey, why branch out when you could go straight up?
Right? Yeah, man. The shortest route to 2 points is straight. Am I right? A to B. There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so.
How many more questions?
The next question is a Facebook question from Nick Coffey. Now, Nick Coffey's asking this question, Tim, okay?
It's very important to preface.
Who's Nick?
Nick is the guy whose last name is Coffey. So, this is Nick Coffey's question. Nick Coffey's question is, I listen to your Two Wiffle Dudes podcast, and it sounds like you're trying to create a powerhouse team by signing up other players, including J-Rat. Wouldn't it feel a little sweeter if you were just to build up your current team and climb into the rankings the old-fashioned way? Not criticizing, just curious. He's a big fan, by the way.
Oh, there's so much to say about this. Number one, I hate that Carl brought this up in the podcast. I hate it. You know Carl. He's just a drama.
He knows how to ask a pointed question, though. He's the best in the game.
He's the best in the game, but he stirs up drama. And I respect GBL so much. I respect Jeremy, Ryan Vogus, all of the guys over at GBL. And if that's something Jared wants to do, fine. If he wants to bring GBL back, fine. I'm not trying to persuade him to come, although I would love to have a veteran like J-Rad on the team. I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think it's a big deal if players switch from one league to another?
You want to take this, Anthony, before I do?
You know, I don't think it's a huge ordeal, honestly. And I say that because we don't have the luxury of having a really close league to have that. Yeah, so preach. I think it would be a great thing to take and implant players in different leagues and swap them out just to have the experience. So, no, I don't have a problem with it at all. But, again, that's we don't have a close league to do that with. Yeah. Here in Huntington. So,
in a way, I'm very jealous of you for having just a league in your state in general. I wrote an article not too long ago for our website talking about the past 20 years of different leagues that have come in our state, and it's so rare for there to be two leagues to exist in our state at the same time. So I really do envy you as far as having a you could even have an interstate series, maybe not literally, but I mean you have some league nearby that you can draw inspiration from, compete with, and have a rivalry with, and commiserate with, and that's something that I always wish we had in our league. The closest thing we have is in Cincinnati, but in a way, you're kind of living out some sort of fantasy that I wish we could live out. But if I could throw my two cents in on the matter, I've been very vocal about this on the Two Wiffle Dudes podcast. I think it's kind of first of all, if you have the opportunity to do it, do it. If you have an opportunity to play in another league, the Skeety Wiffle League is basically just becoming the National Wiffle League as far as NWA teams are concerned. Everyone's kind of putting their name into the hat to go into a draft to play for a team. I know Trent Stiffy's from Minnesota has played, and a lot of players from other different leagues like WSEM and others have played. OCWA gets a lot of Northeastern teams to participate, Hudson Valley, so on and so forth. I'm not saying don't. I'm not knocking it at all. I'm just jealous. But at what point does it become less? Because the regulations to participate for your team from your league, quote, are like play like 4 weeks or four games or whatever. It kind of varies from year to year, to where every team is just becoming stacked and it's just kind of becoming the nation's best instead of the league's best. And I know for as far as a national tournament's concerned, that's probably in its best interest, but what makes different leagues so cool is that it's really local talent. And I kind of take issue with some of the best from other leagues kind of just shopping around with other leagues to go play for a week or two and having a shot to play on a team that might, quote, win. So what do you say to that?
Totally agree. Totally agree. Orball, you've heard of Orball, right?
Yeah, ORWBL in New Carlisle, Indiana. Yeah. Another league that exists in your league at the same time as yours. Jealous!
So we have three leagues that are within an hour of each other.
Yeah. Bastards.
If Jeremy were to play, say, five games, the minimum, I don't know. I don't know if we'd take him, but if they were to play the whole season, I mean, I would consider them a part of the league, would you not?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not knocking the fact of going, and if I could, I'd go play in every league. I definitely don't knock the opportunity to, if you have it, to kind of just road trip it all summer long and just play in different leagues. I respect it even. But I just wonder, you know, if that's kind of what the tournament becomes, is it really about bringing all these different personalities from different leagues and all the idiosyncrasies and niche markets that are from town to town together, or does it just be kind of become this just actual league where the best players from different parts of the country kind of just transplant themselves for the minimum amount of time to do that? I mean, I think this tournament has kind of created a weird vacuum, like in the Scranton area in Pennsylvania, where there's a few leagues that exist solely to create a power team for the NBA yep. tournament. And I just think it's a real slippery slope, and I think it's just a very interesting conversation to have, especially on the Two Wiffle Dudes podcast, where it's, you know, most appropriate, obviously. But I was just curious what your thoughts were on that. And, yeah. Do you have any, like, questions for us or anything you want to say as far as, like, to other leagues or anything you want to post or promote?
for you guys, you guys do both a slow pitch and a fast pitch, not bitch, tournament, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which gets the most attendance? The fast or the slow?
Slow.
Slow, yeah. By far. With Josh and I, we touched on this on the last podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, that question was, I mean, we had at most 10 teams last year, which was an all slow pitch tournament.
Yeah.
This year we had 7 teams, and the majority of those teams came on the slow pitch format.
Yeah.
And I can't say for me that it's because it's easier to hit home runs or it's more competitive or whatever. I know we have a team in the league that our first tournament of the year this year was a fast pitch tournament. They came, they underperformed, unlike all of 2016. This was a team that came in 2016 and was in it to win it in every single tournament. And at the start of this season, we had our fast pitch tournament. They were horrible at fast pitch. When I say that, I'm not being disrespectful because these guys are athletes. You know, one was a college baseball player.
Definitely.
Currently.
Yeah.
One is just a power lefty. They had good pitching. I mean, they were a good team.
Good team and chemistry.
And in our draft this year, they were able to draft the core of their players back. So they didn't really have a change. If anything, they got stronger by adding
outside talent
and wiffle ball veterans.
Yeah.
So, but they struggled in the fast pitch, and we didn't see them after the first tournament. Even though we had a couple more slows, they never showed back up. Now, you know, it could have been for scheduling conflicts or whatever, but they were pretty reliable in 2016. So it begs to ask the question, if you're not good at fast pitch, do you not want to play wiffle ball?
That's a really excellent question.
I think wiffle ball was designed. It's not a swing your dick sport. I think it's like it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you come, for your case, you're playing a tournament, so you're playing the whole day. And if you're playing fast pitch the whole day, you're getting two hits. Why the fuck am I going to waste my time going? I mean, seriously. We're slow pitch, and for us, we do like a hybrid. It's fast and slow together, but it still gives people the opportunity to pitch well, bat well, and field well. And slow pitch, more or less, adds fielding and adds batting as much as just pitching. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that the tournament format kind of maybe bristled some of the competition. I don't think it would have mattered if it was fast or slow. But slow pitch kind of, like I said before, kind of keeps things on an even keel. And maybe that's when the sport's at its most competitive. I think it's at its most competitive when the majority of the players are on the same level playing field. For us, it's slow. For OCWA, it appears to be slow, really keeps things interesting. But, you know, I'm not saying it's for everybody. So, you know, let's just move on.
Okay.
So, Tim, let me ask you. I heard you earlier in the podcast. You said that, you know, for a while it was just you and another guy that was helping you in your league, and then recently you went to a committee, almost like we have, of seven or eight guys. You know, we have a 5-man committee. Recently, added Josh Smith to that committee. He took Patrick's spot, who stepped down. But
worst trade off.
I'm sorry?
That's not a good trade off.
it's really not. He doesn't hold his liquor as well as Patrick does.
Yeah.
How do you feel about leagues going to a committee format? It's the first part of my question. The second part, just to kind of lead you into that question, we all brought something different to the table in our committee. And it was our committee meetings and our tournaments being ran were pretty smooth for the most part. We had one or two hiccups, but I personally am a fan of a committee going forward for everyone to make it easier on guys. What's your view on having multiple guys being a part of the day-to-day operations?
I think it's absolutely key to success. I, after 2 years, was burned out, and I thought, F it, I'm done. And Caleb came around, and a couple guys came around, and I said, listen, if you guys want to make this big, you guys can make it big, but I'm not doing it by myself. If you want to continue success, I think you have to have a committee. I think you have to have someone who, one person can't be good at everything, right? I mean,
right.
I do the website. I try to do some podcasting. I try to do some stats, and I'm not good with field maintenance. I'm not good with some other shit. And a lot of other people are better at a lot of other stuff. And if you can give people the help out, I mean, shit, it makes everybody else's job easier. And I think what you guys are doing with the board is crucial to be able to succeed through the future.
I agree a thousand percent. 1001%. I'm sorry, I kind of skimped on my agreeance percentage there. So, like, when I first started really getting to the NWLA, I became a column writer, and most of my interviews were with commissioners, and I really like to pick their brains, and I've been doing it to you too. And it kind of, what you just said kind of brings credence to what something I believe was, and that's behind every great commissioner is like a handful of guys who really give a shit about the league. You know, Hessfield Wiffle Ball League, you know, Chris Hess, and if Wiffle Ball is a church, he would definitely, Chris Hess would be a saint. What he's enduring right now with just keeping his field up at his house despite the town's wishes, I mean, it's just biblical levels of just commitment, in my opinion. But, you know, for every Chris Hess, there's a Corey Zeh. For every Truck Moriarty, there's a Dee Snider. For every league, if you just have a zealous commissioner, it's not enough. It can't be a passion project. You got to have some handful of people who work behind this guy. Kind of like a discipleship commitment. You know, be apostles for Wiffle Ball, if you will. So
I mean, listen, as a commissioner, you want to enjoy what you have. Yeah. And you can't enjoy it if you're doing everything. People help. And if people help, you get to do more random shit like be on a random-ass podcast with Josh Smith and Anthony. You get to do more shit.
Doesn't get any more random than this. Yeah, like this, the committee thing we're doing, we may be like kind of, you know, breaking some new ground here, but as far as like making things official, I think we're just doing something that's always been happening with successful leagues. We're just making it official. Instead of one guy getting all the time in the sun, and in that sun time, you get burnt out and you're the go-to person, maybe kind of just the idea for the committee is just a wheel that keeps turning, and the five spokes bear the weight as the wheel just keeps turning instead of one person constantly being eroded away by the responsibilities of the league. And that, as someone who was a commissioner for nearly 15 years, I could not be more happy with the work life balance for this passion project that is the Wiffle Ball League for me than what it has been this year. Even though I wasn't part of that committee, I cannot be more proud of the way the league has been run this year than any time that I had ran it. So I hope it's a model that's more followed by commissioners that are getting very near burnout. Every league that I've seen die, it was commissioners that were very passionate at one point. And I talked to them, and they loved it, and they were good, but it just wasn't enough. I'm hoping us reaching out and kind of maybe, you know, going into this gray area that's not been – I don't know if we're the first ones to do it, but we're definitely one of a few, if we're not the first, to maybe lead the way in a non-stressful leadership committee-ran model to where, you know, it's not so much sacrifice on the part of one or two people that run a league now. And I just think it's real tragic when a league dies because someone was burnt out. And I just hate seeing so many leagues not survive to what I believe their full potential is, to where they could have really peaked and they just ran out of steam before that point.
And I want to say, one thing to a bunch of commissioners that don't let other people in is let other people help. And when you let other people put their personal touch on, it's, you don't have to be a control freak. And I think if you lay back and let other people help, it'll make your job less stressful, and it'll make it funner for you. And I don't know. That's my thing, is I let other people help out, and it works out great.
Well, let me kind of piggyback off that. Let the passionate people help. Don't let just any Tom, Dick, or Harry in, because I have to say, you know, I joined halfway through 2015, had never played with football other than just, you know, as a kid, and immediately fell in love and then hated it four bats later. So when I struck out seven straight times. But no, I mean, you got to let the right people in, and kudos to Josh and Greg and all the guys that formed our committee this year. They just picked the right guys, and that's the reason we had the success we did this year. When you're saying let, you know, to the commissioners, you know, let people help, I agree. But be sure you pick the right guys that are passionate. They don't have a poison body, a poison bone in their body for the league. They really want to see the league grow. We and our league and our commissioner, our committee is fantastic, because we have veterans and we have young guys. Bryce Clark is so full of energy, it's hard to keep up with the guy. You know, Josh Blair is passionate. He loses his privilege to talk on group messaging a lot, but he's
a gift making machine.
Jeremy Ray is Jeremy Ray. He's been our face. He's been the face of our league, so he's a no brainer and passionate, and kind of the guy that, you know, has carried us for a while. And then bringing Josh in to replace Pat, those two guys are hand in hand. Those are the last two commissioners that ran the league by themselves, so those guys are no brainers. And I was just fortunate enough to have a pickup truck and be the guy that brings all the shit to the fields on Saturdays.
Yeah, man, you have the right vehicle for the job. Yeah. So, like, I think this is a great place to kind of leave off here. Tim, it has been such a pleasure to have you on the show. I just want to thank you for taking your time out of your evening to talk wiffle ball with us. Special thanks to you for coming on to the show, for your league. And you can follow the Leroy Wiffle Association on Facebook or Twitter for the primest memes in wiffle ball known today. You can go to their website at www.leroywiffle.wixsite.com/home, which we use Wix too, so, you know.
I love it.
Yeah, love it. Our next episode.
It's so free.
It's so free. It's a flashlight. I mean, back when I started, league lineup was king. Shout out to all the leagues that still use league lineup. We still use their stats portion of their site. You know, it is what it is. Our next episode, we're going to be doing something we've been looking forward to since our 16th episode. It's another gimmick episode. But the 32nd episode will feature, once again, the legendary Jeremy Litton, and what we're calling our 32-bit episode. Prepare yourselves for a lot of PS1 era, Sega Saturn, music interludes with wild asides. Should be fun for a wild, winding adventure of what's sure to be probably one hell of a mess of an episode. But, you know, let's face it, it's going to be awesome in its own way. Episode 33 will be our spooky episode that will feature ghastly guest Bradley Burke. Bradley will be talking about what we can expect from this year's Hallowiffle Tournament, our third annual, and why you would be crazy to miss it this year. As always, we're working on making this podcast more entertaining and accessible to you, the listener. You can listen to all our episodes on our website at www.huntingtonwiffleball.com, which is a Wix site. And then, clicking on Media, then Podcasts, you can listen to our episodes that we've been uploading since early this year at Podomatic at www.huntingtonwiffle.podomatic.com. There you can download our episodes or listen to them using the podcast app for iOS, where you can also, through the app for applications for podcasts on iOS, you can listen to and subscribe to our podcast as well. Listen to us in your car, during a warm bath, during a, you know, left-hand stroke session, while you're taking a shit, or while you're making sweet love. There is no wrong time to listen to the HWL podcast. Anthony, God, it's just always been a pleasure to have you on the show. It's weird seeing you be a co-host now, seeing you come into your own as a host recently. But now, now it's time to go. Do you have any last words or any questions?
No, I will be back as a host for sure.
Love it.
I enjoy it. And speaking of coming back, one thing I do want you to do, and I want the listeners to kind of chime in on this, hashtag bring the beard back. I miss the beard, bro.
I don't know. It chafes. Not just me.
I know.
I think it should come back as well.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah. Tim's got a good beard. I respect that. Yeah, but Tim, it's been such a pleasure. It's been such a long time since we've had an outside of the league guest, and I really couldn't think of a better guest to ask on first. I've been wanting to have you on our show since I talked to you on Two Wiffle Dudes, and we kind of buried the hatchet between our leagues unofficially. We're just two dudes, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, very roast.
Yeah, but we're basically bros now. So, I mean, do you have anything you want to plug or anything before we go?
I want to plug that Huntington and Leroy are now allies, that we're the best buds and moving forward.
Tim, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show. Anthony, it's a pleasure as always. But unfortunately, it's time to go. Yeah, I've ran out of alcohol. And it's past 10 o'clock, and it's bedtime. Signing off for Anthony Stidham and our esteemed guest, Tim Wilshire, I'm Josh Smith. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye!
Later.